you can relax. Colleen and Eric have a podcast. The world is scary and we're locked in our home, but now we have big microphones. So you can relax, that's the name of our podcast.
Hello, welcome to Relax the Podcast. I'm Colleen Ballinger.
Hiya.
And you are?
Eric.
Sir? Eric Stockland.
Eric, sir.
Welcome to the first episode of 2023.
And it's episode 99. Problems.
Yeah, 99 problems.
But you ain't one.
Well, some might beg to differ with that.
What do you mean?
I feel like a lot of people would say,
"Were you a problem child?"
I'm the problem. It's me.
Ah, got it.
And no, I was not a problem child. I was the opposite.
Should have seen Taylor Swift lyrics coming at me.
Anyway, hi, everyone. Welcome to 2023. We're so excited to be back again for another year of podcasts with you. We just had New Year's Eve just happen and New Year's Day. How exciting. The holidays times. It's kind of sad, actually. The holiday times are now officially over.
Like once. So sad.
It is so sad.
It's so sad.
What holidays do we have to look forward to now? Nothing.
Easter.
In like 1,000 months. Like
I know, I'm so nothing. Happy.
It's like
I'm so happy.
Valentine's Day. Lame. St. Patrick's Day.
We've had fun Valentine's Days.
Of course we have, but it's
super
not,
fun St. Patrick's Days.
It's not like Christmas and New Year's and Halloween and all the fun ones.
I know, it's not. It's better because there's not glitter and decorations
have
everywhere.
Have you met me?
Oh, gosh.
As if there's not glitter on Valentine's Day, where have you
I've
been?
I've never met anyone in my life who decorated for Easter. It's,
yeah, he thought wild. That was so bizarre that I decorated for Easter.
Yeah.
But there was something
do.
We were
you
talking about. I do love a theme. I love a party. I love to, you know, it was a really big part of my childhood and it made me so happy that my mom made such a big deal of birthday parties and like it was so important to me and so special that she did that. Like I have my fondest memories are like those moments with my family. So like, I love that I get to pass that on to my kids and I hope that they appreciate it as much as my siblings
they love
always
it.
Did.
They do.
But there was something the other day that you brought up and I was like, what are you talking? What was it, love?
I don't know.
You brought up something to me the other day. Oh my God, I'm so mad I didn't write it down. That you were like, wait, everyone does this. And I was like, what are you talking about? I've never heard of this in my life.
This happens a lot, by the way. So,
well, this isn't the thing I was thinking of, but this did happen. You on New Year's Eve were like, everyone gets New Year's Eve presents. Did you get me a New Year's Eve present? I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, I was messing with you because I had gotten you a New Year's present.
Okay, but
I knew you didn't get me anything. And of course, that's not a thing. No,
but
people don't.
He made
don't.
Me think that like people in the world give New Year's Eve presents. And I was like, what are you saying?
You're faulting me for your own gullibility.
No, yeah, I am. Okay. But I wasn't gullible because I fought it for so long. I was like, no one has ever done that. And you're like, are you just trying to get away with the fact that you didn't get me one. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm proudly saying I didn't get you one.
I was just messing with you because I surprised you with a present.
But there was something else.
At midnight.
But there was something else that you were like, people do this. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gosh darn it. You don't remember
You didn't
what
know
I'm
what homeroom
about?
Was. I don't know. Ugh. You don't know a lot of things.
That's true. I don't know a lot of things.
I can't think of it. And I'm sure that this is very entertaining on a podcast to be trying to think
topic.
Of something.
Yeah, I know. First episode of the year. And I'm just like, I don't remember what I was going to talk about for 10 minutes. But you know what I did?
It'll come to you.
You know what I did want to talk about? I was like, the New Year's Eve moment just happened for everyone in this world. And I was like,
that's true. It's New Year's everywhere.
New Year's Eve and like New Year's Eve, like having a New Year's Eve kiss is like a big deal. And I was like, oh, we should talk about like our first like New Year's Eve kiss, like moments or something. Maybe that'd be kind of awkward and funny. And then I thought about it so long and hard and I do not remember having like a New Year's Eve, like first time, like a New Year's Eve kiss and being like, oh, it was like, I do not remember that moment ever happening for me.
I do. Oh, for us?
Not for us. I'm saying like for like in life.
Uh-huh.
Like I don't remember that ever happening. And I'm like, I really was like, oh, we should exchange stories of like the first time we had like a New Year's Eve kiss. And I was like, oh wait, I literally cannot think of it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It means
you were like,
I,
let's talk
like,
about
burn it from my brain.
Kissing other people?
Yeah, let's talk about it. No, I just thought about like, that might be interesting to like interview each other about past
New Year's Eve kisses.
New Year's Eves, I don't know. What was your thing to do on like New Year's Eve in high school? Because like for me, we obviously have gone over in this podcast how different our high school experiences were. Mine was very sheltered and, you know, I'm pretty naive to what high school is actually like, as we've discovered on this podcast.
Correct.
Because of my experience. And, but because of that, like, I mean, did you go to parties on New Year's Eve? Because I did not.
I like beer.
Did you? Did you go to New Year's Eve parties?
Guy, I hate that guy. Did I go? Yes, there would be parties on New Year's for sure. Yeah.
And you would go and you like stay out till midnight?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be like someone would be, you know, it's a holiday, so someone's parents were away or something, and there would be like a house party or something, and there would be consuming of adult beverages.
Underage drinking, guys.
But, you know, responsibly.
I'm sure. Drinking underage is not always responsible, yeah, my dear.
It's never been like a shining moment. I don't remember. There's not like a great thing like that stands out in my memory. Mm-hmm. It always kind of seems like a letdown, an inevitable letdown, mm-hmm. and a mess.
Now,
sloppy.
I have a question for someone who had a normal high school experience. Uh-huh. Can I interview about this? You about this?
Of course.
So I obviously did not have a normal high school experience or a normal like childhood experience. I had a different one than most people.
We've established that sounded like you were just walking around in the woods thinking you were going to school.
Well, I never went to woods. We don't have woods, right?
Well, hiding behind bushes, like whatever.
But I definitely like, I don't remember ever going to a New Year's Eve party. I think I always was at home and like, you know, go outside at midnight with like my siblings or like maybe a friend would spend the night. And like we'd bang pots and pans outside and be like, Happy New Year. And then go back inside and go to bed. Like it was never like, we'd always count down and whatever. And it was
always fun.
How old
are you at this point?
All the way up until college. Like I never went to a party.
You just triggered. I remember I played trumpet in the school band in seventh mm-hmm. and eighth grade. And I remember New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. Seventh grade. I was like just, you know, I was home alone with my parents. Right. And I like was like, can I go outside and play my trumpet at midnight? So I stayed up all the way till midnight. And then I went out on our front steps and like,
played Auld Lang Syne? Like, what did you play?
How
depressing if you were just like at midnight, you heard like one lone solo trumpet playing Auld Lang Syne.
That's real sad. But that's like the most like nerdy kind of New Year's.
That's not nerdy. That sounds actually like my dream. Yeah, that's like amazing.
You know, in context of what I thought it was, I thought I was a nerd at that moment.
No,
I was being like that.
In seventh grade?
That's all about me. Yeah, but like to you, I guess that's just what you did till you were
30. That sounds like really cool. But my question was going to be
please.
To you was that, so for me, like looking at movies and TV shows and whatever, it's always like anticipated like that New Year's Eve kiss, uh-huh. you know, like whatever. And so my question to you is like, okay, so you'd go to these parties, right?
Yes.
Now you'd be with all your buddies and all your friends and whatever, and people from school. So you'd count down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then would everyone just like scream Happy New Year and like throw fireworks? Or was it like people like would find a person to kiss?
There was an extreme amount of pressure to orchestrate kissing someone at that moment. I mean, and usually you have like a some sort of significant other type mm-hmm. thing. And so then that's it. But there have been like, you know, single New Year's for sure where it was like, there was pressure on that for whatever reason.
So like you and all your friends are all around and then like at midnight, clock strikes midnight and everyone just like silently kisses their partner?
I guess, yeah, kind of. For
is
like
that kinda
say
weird?
A second and then everybody's like hugging and high-fiving and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty strange thing, I guess.
And it's not that weird. I guess like if you and I have been, I guess, out and about, you know, and kissing like New Year's and whatever. So it's like, I guess it's a thing, but I feel like it's different when you're like out at a restaurant or a big event or like there's a bunch of people around as opposed to like at a house party with a few friends.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of weird maybe.
Yeah, but well, I mean, you're not overdoing it. It's just kind of like
a peckity poo.
I think it's just like a tradition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can remember one year, like one of my first years in LA, I was out with friends at like this New Year's Eve, like rocking in the New Year's Eve kind of thing at a bar off of Fairfax. And I remember our friends were in a band and they were going to play second, but the first band played. And they played and we were like, wow, this guy's really good. This is like a really small bar. And it was Bruno Mars.
What?
And he was incredible.
Yeah, he's such a good performer.
And we were all like, who's this guy? What's going on? 2 years later, he's like the biggest.
Yeah.
You know, he was instantly famous, like really fast. But I remember there was this girl that I kind of liked and knew she liked me, but my friend also liked her. And I was there at this thing with
triangle.
My friend. And her friend was there and she was dating our other friend. And then we heard that she was coming to get there like right before
but
midnight.
But you and your friend who both liked her were there?
Yes. But I knew that she didn't.
Like him?
Yeah. She had told me that and she told me that she, you know, she liked me or whatever. But like.
Oh my God.
But like we weren't anything. We weren't like, but like. I found out because this friend of mine came up to me and he goes, there's a storm brewing. And it was really ominous and intense. And I was like, what was that about? And then my other friend told me like, oh, so-and-so's coming here because she wants to kiss you at midnight. And he, you know, and he's all.
Did you?
Mad. I think so. Yeah.
Did he get mad?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh no.
Then he had to drive me home. Like we drove there together.
Oh no.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Oh no.
Did you ever?
Guys, what? Well, go ahead.
No,
I was gonna say, did you guys date after that?
For a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Did you ever see the ball drop in person?
I would rather do anything else. I'd rather gouge out my eyeballs with Flynn's fingernails.
Yeah.
And you know how sharp those can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have
Times Square, New York. Never did it because you lived in New York for a couple of years.
I did. There is no desire in my heart and my soul and my brain to ever do such an insane thing.
Yeah.
Because it's freezing cold and you can't pee. I saw a bunch of discourse about it recently, like in the last couple of days online.
Urination discourse?
Yeah. About people like where they do they just wear diapers? Like, is that what happens? I guess so.
I guess you could.
Have you done it?
I've gone to a party in New York City on New Year's Eve once and the friend's apartment was actually in Times Square, but like 10 stories up. Mm-hmm. So it was really crazy because like you kind of had to get through it the back way, you know, you didn't go through there. But then once we were in their apartment, which had a lot of windows, you were kind of like, just if you could see everything and it was like, wow, would I not want to be down there?
Yeah, no way.
That
looks terrible.
Awful. I can remember like being up front at Coachella when I first went there, when I first moved out here and being in a crowd like that and people having to pee and our group of friends would kind of like form a pee circle.
What?
So the person in the middle could pee.
Just on the floor?
Yeah.
In the dirt?
Yeah.
Well, your guy friends for, or girls?
Mostly for girls.
Wow. That's so bizarre.
So they could, so we would kind of form like a little urination circle around them. So
I've done
they
that
could
at the beach
down
before.
Pee.
Like friends have held up towels for me to pee in the sand.
Isn't that what people do to like change bathing suits? Not like.
Well, I did
friends
it to
have
pee.
Formed towels and you pee in
the
sand?
Yeah, a towel circle. And I pee in the sand.
A whole, like, how many people does it take to make a...
Three tops.
Yeah.
You can get away with two, honestly.
A urination circle takes more.
Yeah, especially
concert,
you don't have a towel.
Because we're not all carrying around towels.
Right, exactly.
At a concert, yeah. Okay, we're back.
We never went anywhere.
Oh.
What's your relax?
We're still here.
We didn't do our relaxes yet, lovey.
Okay.
Let's relax this week.
I got a couple.
Okay.
I'm going to start with this.
Okay.
I am, I won't say grown, but I'm adult man by standards of age, if that means anything to you. But I spend most of my waking moments with people four and under.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the floor, mm-hmm. surrounded by mess and toys and playthings in a desperate attempt to keep them happy and fulfilled and entertained.
Mm-hmm.
I am the entertainer for a lot of babies and they have a lot of toys. And it's funny you revert to like a younger version of you. You kind of, you play, you know what I mean? I like to play with them. You know what I mean? I don't watch them play. I play with them. And I picked up a miniature version of an Etch-a-Sketch the other day. And I tried to do anything with it. And I was like, this is the worst toy I've ever played with. I was like, it made me boiling angry that it existed and that it was like a cultural phenomenon. We had one when I was a kid and I could never do anything with it. You can't do anything with it.
I remember I spent hours trying to make a star.
Anything. I couldn't make like a line.
Now I like really want to use it and like try to do
it. You should. And I'll just hear things breaking. Like it'll make you so mad.
No, I feel like I'll just get laser focused and do it for 3 hours trying to do one thing on it.
And I'm sure there were like people who were like, could do it or master it or whatever.
Yeah, people can make like beautiful art on it.
But I was like, this is really, this scam is still going on. Like people are still buying Etch-a-Sketches for kids as if it's like a toy. they have no, I mean, they put it in their mouth and then they throw it to the side. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and Flynn has no, you know, gets frustrated by it, I think, as, you know, as much as I do. And I was like, what, how is this thing even exist? And so I looked it up. And the inventor of the Etch-a-Sketch is a guy named Andre Cassagnes.
Wait, okay. I'm sorry. I really have to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. I just took my hand, for those of you listening, and helped Eric, because he wasn't talking in the mic, so I was like kind of guiding his mic towards his mouth. But then my hand went down to his knee.
Uh-huh.
And I touched his knee, and I am like, we have to stop talking about everything else because I can't think about anything else. These are the softest pants I've ever touched in my life.
Yeah.
I've never felt, my brain is exploding because
in
my many years on this earth,
uh-huh,
this is a new texture and a new feeling to
my
hands.
That's what I thought too when I got them. Yeah.
So I'm like, my brain's going like trying to compute, like, it's like, wait, cotton, polyester, silk? What is this? I don't know what this feeling is. It's the softest material I've ever felt.
It is. It absolutely is.
What is that?
I bought this pair of pants. The next day went back and bought a backup pair of these same pants.
Do they have pockets?
I have two.
Do they have pockets?
And I also have them in two other colors.
Do they have pockets?
Yes, they got pockets.
Oh my God.
They got pockets and then like one little better zipper pocket on the butt.
I don't like zipper pockets. I think that's insane.
They are a yoga brand. I'll say it's a newer one. It's called like Viori or something.
Why are they so soft?
I don't know. But they had that. Remember there was that store on that
what
street?
What is going on? They're so soft.
And I
soft.
Go, I got to go into this fancy
yeah,
yoga store.
Yeah, I know.
Store,
and I stood outside. Yeah.
And you were like, ugh, yoga
no,
stuff.
I didn't do that. I went inside and then everyone was staring at me because I don't look like yoga stuff's not my jam. So I was like, I couldn't even pretend to look around. Like I was, and people were just staring at me and kept going, can I help you? And I was like, I just got to go stand outside.
See, I'll get stuff like this because I think it'll motivate me to then do yoga or something or workout in some way. But like when I found these, I was like, oh my goodness, they're so soft.
Yeah,
and then I bought
so
them and the person at the register was like, isn't this the softest material?
I've never felt anything like it in my life.
I have a million pairs now. Yeah, it's crazy.
They're so soft. Sorry to interrupt your story about the Etch-a-Sketch. That was just so jarring.
Yeah, they're very soft pants, love. Andre Cassagnes, he was a French electrical technician who a half a century ago invented this thing. Late 50s, early 60s, it made the equivalent, when it first became on sale, it made the equivalent of like $17 million
wow.
in sales when it first came out. There was a boom. And I just wanted to... I don't know. I don't know if there's still probably some like toy conglomerate owns it now or whatever the rights to it, but there's probably like an heiress of Etch-a-Sketch out there who's like a millionaire.
That's crazy.
And they shouldn't be because it is total BS, that toy. Hate it. I hate Etch-a-Sketch so
much.
Oh
my gosh. I guess Etch-a-Sketches need to relax.
Well, what did you do? Wait, you invented the thing that nobody can do anything with. That's not an invention.
No, people can do it. It's very
hard.
It's
a negative invention. You've not only have you not invented anything, you've less than, I don't know, it's less than an idea for a toy. And why is it for, I don't know.
I always had one growing up. And I remember getting really obsessed with like trying to draw like my name in cursive with it or drawing a star. I just remember always trying to draw a freaking star with that thing.
We're just all these things that we get. We're just buying 5 minutes of peace at a time.
Literally,
from
it's
our
worth
children.
It every time too. You're like, oh, they
what
played
a
with that for 2 seconds.
My original relax though was going to be you going to a Home Goods Marshalls with you.
You mean you? Sorry, you said that you need to relax. So did you mean that it's like heaven?
See, you go.
Did you mean to say that it's
walking,
like the best hour of your
into,
life?
I don't know. Like the way that you. Your posture's better in there. You like, you know what I mean? Like everything, like you just,
my health is better.
You're glowing. You walk in there, you have confidence. You have like a strut. You get a cart and that cart is full on the top, full on the bottom. You could buy everything in there and it's all garbage.
What are you talking about?
It's all garbage.
No, okay. Do not.
I feel like we've talked about this before. Like, how do things end up there? Like, where do they come from?
We have talked about that.
But it's all stuff that nobody wanted at other stores ends up there.
How can you look me in the face and say that it's garbage when just 2 nights ago, we hung the mirror that we bought there in the baby's room. And you're like, this is such a good mirror. We have to go back and get another one. Because guess what? It's a huge, beautiful mirror. And it was $100.
Same mirror.
You say mirror?
You say mirror? You're like, mirror.
Okay. Mirror. Do you really say mirror?
Mirror. Mirror.
Say innocence.
Don't say mirror.
Say innocence.
I looked in the mirror today.
You just said mirror, love.
No, yeah, you'd be like, I looked in the mirror today.
I don't go. I did not go. I looked in the mirror today. I did not do that. I said we bought a mirror.
A mirror, but you're saying M E E R. You're saying mirror.
That's what you say mirror. Too. Say mirror. Say
mirror. Mirror.
You do not mirror. Do not act like you say mirror.
I don't say mirror. I say mirror.
That's what I just said. We're both saying
it's
mirror.
Different. Say it at the same time. 3, 2, 1. Mirror. Mirror.
Okay, now you're saying mirror. You're so dumb. You literally say mirror. No one says mirror when they're just talking quickly in a sentence. Come on.
Mirror.
You are saying mirror.
I'm doing it now. I'm doing an impression of you.
You're so weird. Anyway, do not act like you don't love that mirror.
Yeah, that was a bargain.
When you can get one at HomeGoods, it's huge and beautiful. Diamond in the rough. Looks amazing. $100. And the same exact mirror I saw on like West Elm for like $800.
Furniture's really expensive.
So expensive.
And Home furnishings
Goods gives you a freaking deal.
Yeah.
Home Goods.
But it is.
Ross, these are my places. These are my people.
In a sea of like.
Marshalls? Get me in there right now.
But like, let me describe to you like a Marshalls Home Goods, because now they're combined.
Or sometimes.
TJ Maxx. You know, they're all the same company.
But
I think
sometimes,
we talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we have.
Time.
Yeah. But
you walk in there and it's a sea of porcelain hands giving a peace sign and cutting boards made out of
porcelain
teak.
Sign.
And just like random like sculptures and the paintings there. Oh, don't get me started on the paintings.
I love them.
And how they ended up in our house. Oh my gosh, just 6 foot by 9 foot, just streaks of oil paint glazed over with sparkles. It's like, why?
I love it.
Why is this not in a horrible hotel like chain lobby?
It is.
And but okay, it is. And also in my bedroom, like it drives me. That I really don't like. And then just aisle after aisle of dusty, dusty throw pillows. The most you've ever seen in your life. And just and another aisle where it's just like jumbled random sheets of all different shapes and sizes.
It's so funny that you're acting as though it is the most grotesque place in the world to you when you literally
bookends the
had
bookend
handfuls
aisle.
Of crap that you wanted to buy.
Oh,
like,
it's
oh, we
so
need this cutting board. Oh, we need this chair. Oh, look at this chair. I love this chair. Oh, look at this cutting table. I need this basket.
You need
oh, look, this is a toilet paper roll holder. Look how great this is. We need this. Oh, we need these door. You
but
are doing the same
need,
thing as me.
But we don't
but
need
now you're acting as though
any of
it's
it.
Just me.
But we
at
don't
least,
need we don't actually need any of it, but guaranteed if we go there, you will Jurassic Park, life finds a way. You will find a way to spend at least $300.
You do
every
too,
time.
Though. You do this
because you forget your credit card every time we go
no,
anywhere.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you pick out just as much stuff as I do, if not more, at Home Goods every time.
Uh-huh.
At least if it's embarrassing or if it's weird or if people look down on Home Goods, whatever, at least I can admit like, yeah, I love a freaking Home Goods. I love a deal.
I don't think
you
it's
won't
embarrassing.
Even admit it, but you do it.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's absolutely bargain. But like I said, you have to find the diamonds in the rough. You got to be careful there. You can't be buying those mugs that say like, coffee mom, you know what I mean? And like that black font that mm-hmm. they just put on everything porcelain. What do they say? Or maybe you do. Maybe you like those. Maybe that's
oh,
your
are you
thing.
Talking about the like, the not, they don't say coffee mom. They'll literally say like flower.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace. Yeah. Lots of, well, yeah. Peace.
Truth.
Truth.
And like the really skinny.
Yeah. It's like the skinny
font.
Black
has a name.
Font.
I forget what it's called.
You don't know the names of fonts, remember?
No, but that one's very famous. Like uh-huh. it is, it's like very, very
dog
famous.
Mom.
Your dog mom's a big one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dog.
Well, that grinds my gears. Actually, I have a relax, but I'll tell you after we say thanks for our sponsor. Oh,
please
okay?
tell me it's not Marshall's Home Goods.
Okay, so would you like to hear my relax?
I would love to. I'd love nothing more.
This is going to ruffle some feathers.
Why?
My relax this week, but that's okay. I'm here to ruffle feathers today. I'm starting this year off
feisty.
By pissing people off. Starting the year off feisty, starting
Damn.
The year off making some people mad. And I'm not trying to make people mad. Just try to hear me out to the end of my little rant right now.
Okay.
So I was watching a TikTok the other day, and there is this girl doing a TikTok, and she was talking about some like mom that she didn't like online
mm-hmm.
because of something she did with her kid or something. And I don't even remember who she was talking about or what it was in reference to because I was so annoyed by a sentence that she said. And she said, I understand what it's like to be a mom and how hard it is to have a baby because I have one. I have a fur baby. I have a dog. So I understand how difficult it is to be a mom. And I guffawed out loud, like spit out the nothingness that was in my mouth at the time.
Yeah.
Spit take, because I've heard people say this before and it is so frustrating to hear someone say, and by the way, I am not saying that it is not hard to have a dog. It is very hard to have a dog.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It's so much responsibility. And that is why we don't have one. That is why I'm like, no, we cannot get a dog right now.
Right.
Because it is way too much work. It is so hard to have a dog. And it is so much work, so much responsibility. And you love this dog so much. You feel like you're going to explode. It's like, it's a part of your family to have a dog.
Truly, yeah.
But having a dog is literally nothing like having a baby. In my experience, having three babies, is that's how many I've had.
Uh-huh.
I've had many a dog. Nothing, not even close.
Yeah, they're not in the same ballpark even. It's not part of like, it's that discussion.
Equation. It's like, if you got to really like, a really bad hangnail or something, like a really painful one. You know, when you get those like, oh, they're the worst, like a really nasty, bad hangnail that kind of hurts. And uh-huh. It's like so super annoying. Okay. Like I'm not denying that like a hangnail really hurts and they suck and they're super obnoxious. But if I break my leg in front of you and I am screaming in agony on the ground about my broken leg and I'm bleeding out all over the place. And my bones sticking, jetting out of my leg. And you come up to me and you say, I know exactly how you feel. I have a hangnail. Like, no.
That's it. Like, that's a metaphor.
That's like what it feels like to me. Like it is not the same. Like it is of course painful and not fun to have a hangnail, but it is not the same as a broken leg. And that's what I feel like it is comparing a dog to having a new baby.
So you get woken up, you know, by dogs because they want to be let out and you just got to open the door and let them out. And they go out when you get woken up by the babies and are sick or have pooped themselves or peed themselves and then won't go back to, you know, that's different.
Well, there's a lot. That's
changing a diaper is different than like picking up poop with a poop bag.
I feel like that's the only thing similar
feeding
between
them, getting kids to eat is so hard. With a dog, you just put on a bowl on the floor. Imagine doing that to our kids, like just throwing them some chow from a bag and like a bowl on the floor, being like, eat that and walking away.
I mean, we've kind of done that before. Throwing Cheerios on the ground and been like, not really, guys.
It's not the same.
But I've just heard it a few times. So if you ever see a tired new parent and they're talking about how hard it is with the postpartum depression and anxiety and my body destroyed and aching in pain and going through the biggest physical change I could ever possibly go through that lasts for years usually, and mentally and physically. And that's just the physical part of it. And on top of that, you're dealing with a brand new human being you are 100% responsible for.
Yeah, it's just different.
If a woman comes or a person comes up to you and says, I am tired because I just had a baby and he's waking me up all through the night and I'm not sleeping and this and that, just please don't say, I know how you feel because I have a pet. Like, don't do that.
Right. And that is not to say that people don't like their dog can be their best friend and their family and they love them so much.
Moose
you know
is
what
my
I mean?
Child. My cats are my
and
children. Like
have,
I've,
you know.
To me, of course, your pets are your family. They are your children. They are part of your life. I'm not saying the love that you have for them isn't, you know, incredible and strong.
We have two
and
cats
powerful.
And
like,
they destroy everything. And we still have those two cats.
I would be destroyed. Heartbroken, gutted forever if something happened to my pets. Like, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's not the same thing. Yeah. And just don't compare it. So you can say that it's hard to have a pet, but maybe not right after someone is talking about how hard it is to have a baby.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And people do that. And
they do.
And they should relax about it.
Just relax. Just talk about it another time.
Right.
In 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, talk about your dog.
So anyway, I just saw a TikTok that some girl said something
that's
like that.
Funny.
And I was like, what is happening?
She was chiming in. She did not have the right.
It wasn't about her. It's free speech. She can talk about whatever she wants. I'm just saying from the other side, someone who has had children and lots of different pets, it ain't the same thing. In my personal experience, it's not.
Speaking of pets, I wanted to talk about
pets,
carpeted stairs.
Oh, brother.
And who's doing this? Why?
We are.
Why are
we have children is why.
Well, we didn't put it there.
No.
And in our last house, we had a child and then children, mm-hmm. and we did not have carpeted stairs. Mm-hmm. I want to take that carpet off the stairs, Lovey.
No. Not while we have two babies. One was just Flynn as a baby.
You say it's a safety issue.
Yes.
But I think it's, the cats are just ripping it up. They're all stained now. You bought a rug cleaner thing.
Yeah, that needs to relax.
And it made the stains infinitely worse.
It's so weird, guys.
Spread them out.
Maybe someone can give us advice on this. Can I ask about that really quick?
Sure, go ahead.
So there were a couple little stains on our carpeted stairs.
On our white carpeted stairs.
They're like beige, like barfy beige color. They're like a hemp. I feel like it's a good color to describe them. Hemp.
Yeah, hemp beige.
Hemp beige. And so I was like, I'm going to buy a really nice carpet cleaner. I got this one that has like the best reviews ever. Like it's incredible reviews. It's a spot cleaner for like if you have pets, deep cleans.
It
spots
looks
you cannot
it
get
looks
out.
Crazy. I it looks like a spaceship.
Ever. It has so many good reviews. I used it and it made the biggest stains in the world on our carpet.
They
I
were like
the
little,
instructions
little
exactly.
Little marks and now they're like giant like blobs.
And you know
stains.
What's crazy is I was like, this must be a problem that everyone has because this is crazy. This happened to me. And so I searched the internet. Like every page I could find, every blog, every post anywhere about this vacuum cleaner, this carpet cleaner, to be like, someone else must have had this experience, like where they used it and it stained their carpet way worse. And I couldn't find anything.
It looks terrible. It looks like we tried very poorly to clean up a crime scene at the bottom of
it
our stairs.
It looks insane. It looks so bad. So staircase. We do need new carpet there, but I don't think we should go carpetless because we have babies crawling up and downstairs with our guidance. Obviously, we're always right there, but they're going to start to learn to walk soon. And we have three kids and there's two of us. So like when they start running, like we're not going to be able to have a parent on each kid at all times. And I'm so afraid of one of them slipping downstairs. Like that really freaks me out. And carpet will definitely help them not to slip because hardwood's slippery.
Hardwood, it's not slippery.
Where? What are you talking about?
Hardwood is slippery?
Are you insane?
Well, it's more slippery than carpet. Like you couldn't like run into a sock slide on carpet, but like it's hard. I mean, it's most stairs are not carpeted.
So on a surface where you could run with socks on and slide on it, you would not consider that surface to be slippery?
That's not slippery. I'm talking about socks. You could slide on anything in socks.
You just said
carpet.
You cannot slide on carpet and our kids wear socks.
Let me say something. Let me post an instance in which this could be more dangerous than hardwood. Because when I grew up, we did not have carpeted stairs, but my grandmother's house had carpeted stairs. And what did we do on the carpeted stairs all day long? Slide down them face first, feet first. We just would slide down them. We ruined those things. We wore down the edges. Every grandkid would just slide down her carpeted stairs, having a ball. So I think you're going to like slide down it on purpose.
That's not true. First of all, was it shag carpet?
It wasn't. It was. Oh, I loved it. But it was like a pale green. It was not. It was a little bit shaggy.
Exactly. Because you slide down a shag carpet. This is not carpet to slide down. It's like a thin. It's not. I wouldn't even call it carpet.
Cut you up.
It's like a flat rug. It's like a. What would you? I don't even know
it's
how
to. Not shag. A low pile.
It's not shag. So this is not something you'd be tempted to slide down. Like we have a shag rug upstairs in the reading nook and Flynn will roll on that, slide on it. He's like obsessed with it. So since it's not that kind of material, he's not going to slide down it. They have no desire to slide.
Well, yeah. I remember when it just reminded me of my parents' house when we first moved in there when I was in fourth grade. The first thing my dad did was they had carpeted stairs. And we're talking about like the carpet's like lines like the middle. Like you just see the wood on the edges. First thing he did was rip that up.
Yeah, that's what we have. You just see the line of the wood on the side.
Yeah.
The issue is if we rip it up, it's obviously been there forever. And so there's going to be like weird staining on the wood now because the wood that's been exposed is going to be much lighter than
original
the wood
underneath. Original and gorgeous? And
no, I'm saying that like what's been exposed as to what's been hidden under carpet, they're going to be different colors and it's going to look weird. So we're going to have to get someone to come and polish all the wood and like fix it all and stain it all to be matching again. And also, it's not just carpet on the stairs. That carpet is attached to all of the carpet upstairs in all the halls and the rooms. So you'd have to rip up all of the carpet everywhere.
I hope so. It's already getting destroyed by the cats. and muddy socks.
So then you want them to destroy really beautiful hardwood? Like, I say we wait.
They're not going
to
claw it.
I love
hardwood.
That we're having this conversation on the podcast, but like, I say we wait.
We don't get to talk to their children's
until,
Korean.
I say we wait until the kids are old enough to like not be destroying everything. So 18 years. And then, but I'm just so worried we're going to rip it up and they're just going to ruin all the beautiful 100-year-old hardwood underneath it. I'd rather them destroy it. Like, we've lived here a month and they've destroyed that carpet on the stairs. Yeah. So why would we rip it up so then they could just, like, it's ugly carpet. We're going
to
rip
it up
someday.
To get a different carpet?
Well, because I don't want them to ruin the beautiful hardwood that, like...
I don't think cats claw on hardwood. They don't claw on hardwood.
They have nails. So I don't know. They don't claw. This is such a stupid conversation to have on the podcast.
The stairs in my parents' house that after he took the carpet off became... like a security alarm. They became,
I know, they're so loud.
They became, it's probably a little bit like this relative to the same age of this house. Like the stairs creaked like you wouldn't believe and we could never sneak out. Mm-hmm. And they would always know when we came home because they and still are.
They're so
the
loud,
loudest
yeah.
stairs on the planet. So I wonder if that would be good too. Cause then our stairs would become really loud and we'd know.
Nah, our room's too far
from
the stairs.
Someone was coming.
I don't know. Well, let's talk about our next sponsor for a minute and then we can fight more about stairs.
And we're still here.
We never left.
Can I stay on the cats?
You can stay on. Yeah, you can stay
can
on
I
the
Can I stay
cats.
On pets, cats,
yeah,
carpet?
Sure.
So we have two cats.
We do.
They are very much
indoor cats.
We're
about to have
cats.
Three.
Yeah, right.
I want another cat so bad.
Yeah, right. They just destroy everything at everywhere. Oh, besides
so
the point,
so
when
cute.
I grew up, we had three cats when I was a kid. And it didn't interfere that much with daily life because they were indoor, outdoor cats. You know what I mean? They would spend most of their day outside killing chipmunks, bringing chipmunks back and leaving them on the front steps, running around in the woods, doing whatever they do.
I don't think I've ever seen a chipmunk in real life.
No?
I don't think we have.
They don't really have
not
them
where I grew up,
here.
No.
They're plentiful on the East Coast.
Are they like the
up.
Size of a squirrel?
No, they're smaller. They're like
they're smaller?
Yeah,
I always thought
they're
bigger.
They're like that. No, they're little.
Oh, cute.
Yeah,
anyway.
They're very pretty, I think. And like they're not like up in trees. They're like in rock walls and things. But the cats love to kill them.
Okay. So.
And then they would come in at night, you know, when it got cold and they'd do their thing. So like there was a litter box in our basement, but like I don't think they even used it because they would just do their business outside. You know, they learned to kind of do their business outside. You know what I mean? They were great and I loved them. And then I'd never had an indoor cat, never known an indoor cat, like permanently indoors, never goes outside until I met Gus and then Daisy. Mm-hmm. And they were in where we used to live, were always inside and destroyed everything, every piece of furniture, the walls, the crumb, everything. Like they were trying to claw their way out. Mm-hmm. Now we live in a different place. And there's kind of like a little bit of woodsiness to it. And where we used to live in LA, they would, if you opened a door, they would just kind of stare out like, what is that hell? Like, I'm not going out there. That's looks terrible. You know what I mean? But now if we open a door, they dart.
Yeah, they want to go
outside. They wait around doors like kind of hiding. And then you open the door and they dart outside and they just run.
They're not trying to run away, by the way. They love this house.
They want
to
be outside.
They love being outside. They really like exploring outside.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty great. At first, I was like, we got to keep all the doors shut. Oh my God. Like, how do we, you know, kids running around, like, how do we keep the doors shut all the time? And you really can't.
Yeah.
So it's good that they're kind of like adapting to it. But I still think that they're not prepared. That we have not prepared as their fur parents. We have not prepared them for life on the outside.
Well, that's why they aren't outside cats. They're
right,
inside
but
cats.
Now they're spending time outside and it's
not on my watch.
Not much, but it's just when they run and then I can't catch them. And I'm like, okay. And then they come back to the door eventually.
Yeah, like
cats are smart like that.
Yeah. They haven't been outside long,
but they are not, apex predators by any means. Mm-hmm. They are complete dunces. I think they have no, not much for brains.
Daisy doesn't have a brain. I think Gus has
brains.
Gus
is pretty smart, yeah. But there are coyotes that I've heard
I
at night.
This is going much different than
there
I thought.
There are mountain lions. Like,
are you talking about concern for them? Because I thought you were going to talk about litter box.
I am, but I think like, you know, we got to let them spread their wings and fly. You know what I mean?
You want them to be outdoor cats?
A little
bit.
Have
you lost your
mind?
They're Persian cats.
I think we just, you know, we just baby steps kind of what we've been doing. Persian cats just can't be outside? How is it a species? Are they just completely inbred to have those flat faces?
I think so.
Like to like sit on like the lap of like a king of England in the 1700s for like a portrait painting?
I'm not sure.
Is that why they exist?
I don't know, but I know that they're very cute and sweet and they're not outdoor cats. Like when I got them, I read everything I could about them, tried to learn as much as I could, obviously. And because I wanted to take care of them the best of my ability. And everything I read was like, these are not outdoor pets. Do not let them go outside. So they go out with supervision, sometimes with Eric, but I never try to let them go outside. And Eric's like, just let them be outside and inside.
No, I don't let them outside. It's only when they like escape and I can't then like, and they don't come back and they just go for it. I'm like, yeah, live your life. It's always during the day. Don't, you know, at night I'll chase them down. I chased down one in the rain, in the dark.
I know,
the
Daisy.
Other night because like, I don't think she knew what she was doing.
No, she has no brain.
Me and Flynn were at a park a couple weeks ago. And there was a girl there. She had brought her cat and she had it on a leash.
That's my dream.
And Flynn extremely audibly goes, that girl's got a cat. Like it was, and she laughed. There's, it was pretty funny.
We kind of do
but
have
I feel
three
like
cats.
That's you. Have you done that?
No, we kind of do have three cats because there's a stray cat that's always in our backyard.
Oh, fast bush cat.
Sorry guys, I'm having an allergy attack. So if you hear my sniffle and sneezes, I like don't know what's going on. I can barely keep my eyes open. But yes, fast bush cat.
Yeah, it's fast bush cat is this cat that comes from the bush and sits on a rock. And Flynn named it fast bush cat because anytime it sees us, it gets really skittish and it just dives straight.
We've never gotten close to this
bush.
Cat. It's always so far away.
Yeah, if it knows like we can see it from the kitchen window. You okay? You want to stop?
No, I might need to pause for a second. I can't breathe.
It's actually, a bit distracting.
Yeah, I think it would be. Can you say we're going to take a quick break for Kalinda?
We're going to take a quick break for Kalinda to nose, do some nose stuff.
Sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on with me tonight. I know this happens a lot, but tonight's really bad. Like, my eyes are kind of burning. So sorry for hearing all the sniffles and sneezes. You might hear a couple more, but anyway. Well,
we're getting to the end here.
Yeah.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Didn't we say that?
We did at the beginning. You did. I didn't, though.
Oh.
And I wondered, because we're in that time of year now where people say, strangers, any interaction you have with a stranger, they say Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm.
And how long do you think this is, it's okay to go on for?
Well, first of all, a lot of people say Happy New Years, and that kind of bugs me.
Oof.
Because it's Happy New
they
Year.
Do?
Yeah, people say Happy New Years.
Well, I can see you saying it like on the day. Like if it's New Year's Day, Happy New Year's.
I guess, but still, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say people say it for like a week or two.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that I say it. I say happy holidays in December, but I don't think I say happy new year. I would say it on the day, happy new, which by the way, I had a horrible conversation with a doctor. So yesterday, can I tell this story?
Sure.
I had the weirdest conversation. One of my biggest pet peeves in the whole world is when doctors make you feel stupid. Like, listen, doctors. We know we're dumber than you. Like, that's why you are a doctor and I am not. I'm coming to you because you're smarter than me.
I often say, well, I'm not a doctor because I know.
You're not a doctor and you're not as smart as doctors. Like, doctors are smart. They go through a lot of schooling and work very hard to have the brains that they have.
Right.
So it really bothers me when doctors go out of their way to make me feel stupid or embarrass me. And I feel like it happens sometimes.
Yes.
And it's hard to find a doctor that doesn't do that, in my opinion and in my experience. So anyway, I called a doctor yesterday about something that was going on with someone in our family. It wasn't serious. It wasn't a big deal, but it was just something we wanted to get checked out. And so I called a doctor to ask, left a message because it was a holiday. So I was like, well, they'll call me back when they can. Mm-hmm. It wasn't urgent. So I just had a question. And so this doctor calls me back. That's on call.
On New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve. And so I pick up the phone. And he says, hi, this is Dr. So-and-so. And I go, hi, thank you so much for returning my call. And his response was verbatim. This is the direct quote because it was so shocking. It's burned in my mind. I said, thank you so much for giving me a call back. And he said, you called me. Like, so weird. It was so weird. And it was like, he was so mad. But I was like, I was so confused because, yeah, I did call him.
Mm-hmm.
But he called me back.
Maybe he was saying like, it's what's part of my job as a requirement is that if you call, I have to call you back.
I just feel like it's
on-call doctor.
I guess, but I just feel like it's kind to say, like, if someone gives you a call back, to say, like, I always say that if someone calls me back, I go, oh, thanks for giving me a call back. Like, I always say, thanks for calling me back. Like, I always say thank you.
What's is he going to say? Like, what's he going to say? Like, well, of course. Yeah, no, I have a, like.
Well, I don't know. He just goes like, yeah, sure. Like, and then we can have a conversation. Right, yeah. He doesn't have to say anything. He could literally be like.
It was snippy.
It was very snippy. It was so awkward because he goes, you called me. And I was like, and it was silent on the phone because I was like shocked. I was like. And then my mind goes, wait, did I just call? I just picked up the phone. What is he talking about? Like, then I was like, wait, did I call him? I'm so confused.
Right.
But he had called. So I was
maybe he heard you wrong. Maybe he heard you and you're like, oh, thanks for calling me. And you thought he was just reaching out to check in.
I don't know. It was really, maybe that's what it was. Yeah, but it was very harsh how he said it. And then it was
silent. Because you are awkward on the phone. Yes. So who knows what you said when you answered it?
You heard me. You were there. I said, thanks for calling me back. Anyway, maybe he heard thanks for calling me. And it cut out when I said back. And so then he was like, what, you called me? But it still, I feel like, was a weird response. Because then it's silent. Because I was like shocked. I didn't know what to say because I felt so uncomfortable. I felt so terrible. And then I go, oh, I just meant like, thank you, because I know it's a holiday and you're probably busy with, you know, I'm sorry. And so then I did get awkward because I was like, it seemed like he was offended. I called him in the first place or something. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm sorry. No, I just meant, I'm thank you for calling me back on a holiday. Like he's like, oh yeah, sorry. That was just a New Year's Eve joke. I guess it didn't work.
That's so weird.
And I was like, is there a New Year's Eve joke? Like getting mad at someone that they called to you that I don't know about? Is this like a common joke that I'm unaware of? But he's
testing out new material. It was
so weird. And so then we had called him earlier about the same issue, and we're given like kind of an annoying answer, just kind of like, it's fine, don't worry about it. So it's like, you know, maybe 7-8 hours later, and I was like, hey, that thing I didn't think was an issue, you said wasn't an issue, I think maybe it could be an issue, I just wanted to ask you a couple more questions about it. And he was like, when I brought up the whole situation to him again, I was like, this is what's going on, I just wanted to get double checked on it and ask a couple questions about it. And he was like, well, no one told me that, I didn't know that. And I didn't say anything back, but in my head, I was like, my husband spoke to you on the phone, like, just like a mere few hours ago. And he told you all this and you told us we were insane and it wasn't a big deal. But like, and then he was like acting like it was a big deal, but he was so snippy and rude to me on the phone. It was so insane. And I know it was a holiday, so he probably just did not want to be working that day. It was the end of the year. He's over it. Like, I get it. But it was just like, I just really don't like it when doctors are mean to me and make me feel stupid. It has happened to me many times in my life. And so I think I'm traumatized, honestly, by one of my first dentist's experiences. That was terrible because I always think about that when I think about bad doctor's experiences. My first horrible experience with a dentist was so traumatizing that, like, I've never trusted anyone who's like a doctor or dentist since then.
I have a bad dentist story too.
Yeah. They can be so mean.
Yeah. I once had a dentist tell me that I did not need Novocaine for a cavity, and he drilled it and it really hurt.
Yeah.
And now I have a fear of dentists.
I had a similar experience. My first traumatizing one was.
You didn't say what it was.
He gave me the Novocaine. Sure, first of all, he like grabbed my whole cheek like this and he gave me the shot of Novocaine or whatever. And while he's doing it, he jiggled my cheek like this really
hard.
They
do that, yeah.
He was like, then now you won't feel it. And I'm like, no, I definitely feel the very extremely huge needle that you are jamming into my whole head.
I think they should do the shake to spread out the...
I don't know, but it was Novocaine. So painful.
I don't know why they do that, but it's so incredible.
Awful.
The latex gloves in your mouth.
It's the worst.
And like the texture and like the shaking. Yeah, that's my least favorite part.
It was like my first cavity filling experience that I can remember. And I was like 10, maybe 11. And he gave me the Novocaine. And then he was like, you know, is it still numb? Or is it numb? Tell me if it's numb. Can you feel this? And I was like, yeah, I can feel that. So then they had to give me more. And so then after I was done, they filled the cavity. It was all very painful and it totally sucked. I stood up to leave and my mom was like talking to the receptionist about my next appointment. And I started to faint. I was like, Mom, I don't feel good. I'm dizzy.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, no, you're fine, whatever. And I was like, Mom, I'm really, really dizzy. I felt really weird. And we got to the car, we walked up to the car and I fainted in the car. And then I fainted when I got home. And I was like fainting. I was blacking. It was like so weird. I had the weirdest experience and I was crying. I was a disaster. I was like, it was like the weirdest. So Mom called the dentist and was like, what did you do to my daughter? She keeps fainting and blacking out. She's sobbing. She's a total disaster.
Yeah.
And they were like, she's just nervous. And my mom was like, she's nervous when it's over. And they're like, yeah, sometimes, you know, if you just get nervous, you faint. And my mom was like, what? And they totally like, I was like, mom, they gave me something weird. I don't know. Like, why am I fainting? So like, ever since that experience, it was like so scary. And then I was totally gaslit. And like, they were like, no, we didn't do anything to you. You didn't faint because of us. You fainted because you're just nervous. And I was like, what are you talking about? But that was my first time I ever fainted.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And it was so painful. Not the fainting, but the cavity filling.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was, now I always think about that when I think about doctors and dentists I don't like.
Yeah. Oh, you're so smart. Well, we don't trust you.
Just avoid that. No, some of my favorite people in the world are like genuinely my favorite people in the entire world is my doctor, who's genius, brilliant woman.
And she would never make you feel stupid.
No.
She would share her incredible wealth of knowledge with you to enlighten you and make you a better person and a healthier person. So yeah. So a week, you think people can say Happy New Year?
Yeah. Sorry.
I've had someone say Happy New Year to me. Like, we're talking like January 31st and Happy New Year.
Grow up.
Those people need to relax.
Relax.
You get 2 days. I'd say it's cut off now. If anyone says it now, it's not that I don't want people to be happy in this new year, but it's not
it still is a new year.
It's not a way to interact and greet strangers.
I guess
it's pretty new. I guess a couple of days is pretty new. If I've only had something for 2 days, I'd be like, yeah, it's new. But like, when you have something, like, when is it not new?
You still call our twins newborns and they're almost a year and a half old.
Newborn twins. Yeah.
He still says I have newborn twins.
When are they? Was they're toddlers?
Yes, they're toddlers. When does that happen? They're toddlers.
How long are they newborn for?
Like a few months.
All right. So you can say Happy New Year for a few months. Now I kind of want to say New Year's.
Yeah. See, you're not supposed to say that. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. Happy New Year. I hope you have a
Happy New Year's,
fabulous,
guys.
Wonderful year. And we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
For episode 100.
It's a party next week.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. Probably nothing. We'll do something. Let's do something.
We got to do something.
We'll do something great. We'll see you guys next
100?
Week. 100. You can relax. Colleen and Eric have a podcast. The world is scary and we're locked in our home. But now we have big microphones. So you can relax, that's the name of our podcast.